Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, Steve Jones Show on a Friday afternoon. A big football weekend coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And tonight, Loyal Sox fresh off their victory over Mount Carmel, taking on Shikellamy tonight. Kevin Herr, Dick Hort with the call right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And, of course, we'll have four games on tonight and with the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Another big night of high school football. Penn State football tomorrow. The Nittany Lions will be taking on Illinois in the Big Ten opener at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. Airtime 10:30 for the pregame show on the Penn State Sports Network and News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. You need to stop at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Let It Be Solar Hotline. We've already heard from John Vooch of the St. Louis Cardinals on the Let It Be Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. We'll still hear from Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football. He'll be on the Let It Be Solar Hotline at 435. And now here at the Sunbury Motors Studio. Yes, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And here in the Sunbury Motors Studio here in State College, very pleased to bring in Nate Mink from statecollege.com. And we've had Ron Musselman on many times, but for the first time, we bring in Ben Jones to the Sunbury Motors Studio. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I'm ready to be changed.
From enthusiastic to what?
Whatever that was.
to whatever that happened to be? Great. Okay.
I'm ready for it.
Just what we need.
Let's talk about the progress that we've seen 4 weeks. So here it is, a non-conference report card from each of you. Nate, let's start with you.
Do I have to go grade by grade, position by position?
You can do whatever you want.
Well, I'm not doing that because that's too much thought.
Quarterback.
You know what? Honestly, A. I think, without a doubt, A. Braxton Miller's getting a lot of hype, being that dual threat guy for Ohio State. But I think McGloin is right there with him in terms of being the number one guy in the conference right now. He's just made tremendous strides under O'Brien and Charlie Fisher and really just getting his chance to just stretch his legs out and not having to worry about looking over his shoulder and wondering what a mistake could cost him, moving forward this season. So without a doubt that, big picture, 2-2, I buy the argument that it could be 3-1. I'm not willing to go 4-0 quite yet. But like Steve alluded to, they just made tremendous improvements from week one to where they are now, and now we're in, a whole different ball game in the Big Ten where you see some familiarity with some of the personnel that you're used to seeing over the last few years. So, it should be interesting to see where they go from here.
Ben?
I'm not going to do the position by position either, but
you guys are gutless.
I will say that the quarterback play has been tremendously better this year than it has been in recent years. And I think a lot of that has to do with just the fact that Bill O'Brien named Matt McGloin the starter way back before the season ever started. So there was no controversy. It was just Matt McGloin. And, he breaks the 1,000-yard mark early in the year. He threw for 1,500-ish yards both of the last two seasons, and certainly he didn't, start every game. But, he's certainly on track to be statistically one of the top quarterbacks that's come through Penn State, which I don't think anybody expected to say when he first stepped under center. As far as the rest of the team, I agree that they could be 3-1. I don't know, like Nate said, that they could be 4-0, but that first game is such an anomaly in sports. Everything that was going on around that it's almost a throwaway game at this point because the team's so much different. So I would say that probably in the B range in terms of where they were to where they are right now.
Look, I think Jack Ham and I talk about this often. And part of this is based on Jack's experience playing the game at the highest level in the biggest games and the biggest moments, and what made the Steelers very special. That when something went wrong, And he's talked about this often on the air. He said, look, you move on to the next player, the next thing. Well, the first two games didn't go well. Well, if you dwell on it, guess what? You're in trouble. But if you have the ability to move on and then make the best of it, then that's what you do. Well, they're 2-2 because they moved on and made the best of it. You know, and I think that's the sign of a team that has some maturity, because you know, we talk about success, of course, begetting success. Well, same thing with lack of success. You can get yourself into a rut. They've been able to get themselves out of that rut. And part of it is, let's talk about the defense for a moment. On 3rd and 5 or better in the first 2 weeks of the season, and for whatever reasons, they were 65% against them. Navy and Temple are 2-for-18 combined in that situation. That's more of what we've expected to see. Over time, they're just getting used to playing with one another, and you can see it.
Devil's advocate here. How does that change this week, though? Maybe it doesn't change this week because of the Illinois passing attack, but Temple and Navy weren't comparable to the passing attack, at least that we saw from Ohio.
Illinois so far has not been a great third down team, which is interesting. I think as a team, I think they're 37%. Not great. Actually, Illinois' third down defense is really good, but their third down offense has been 37%. That's not off the charts. If you're having a really, really good year on third down, you're up over 45%. They're not there yet, but I think we've seen – let's talk about the Amos move when he's in at safety, bringing in Davis and then Hall at middle linebacker. That package, that's Penn State's version, not nickel, but that's their third down package. What do you think
they call it? They call it the Roadrunner, if I heard that correctly this morning.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, I like it. You know, it's probably the closest thing you're going to see to a nickel from this team, I think, this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Hall's a playmaker, much in the mold, and I'm going to compare him to Nate Stupar in that he's just always seems to make the big play on defense. He's always in the right spot at the right time. You know, he scooped up the fumble and took it 74 yards. You know, he has great speed. Obviously, he can get off the edge and get to the quarterback and disrupt the passing game in that area. You know, I'm still really interested to see what they do with Amos if they prefer him at safety over corner and how what they're thinking is with that. If they're waiting for Daquan Davis to make that next step forward and be almost an every down cornerback, or if they're just going to keep him Adrian at corner and move him to safety in that specific Roadrunner package like we talked about. But I like it. I think it gives, you know, the opposing offense a different look, and it certainly, you know, gets guys who are going to be playing a prominent role in the future much-needed repetition.
Certain players get certain concepts before others do. Mike Hall's always been a natural at understanding what a pass drop is for a middle linebacker or any linebacker. Remember the play he made in the end zone last year against Alabama? It was a heck of a play that he made. I mean, he has that ability. Ben, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I think he's one of those guys that doesn't get enough credit on the defense from fans, that he's an intelligent player. He knows, you know, what his job is and how to drop back into pass coverage. And I think going back to what Nate said, this nickel package that they're putting in, what it is essentially a nickel package, is an interesting look at what Penn State's defense might look like down the road a few years from now when they get players that are really, you know, recruited to play in that kind of package. And I think Hall and Amos are both examples of those kind of guys that they're looking for. And, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they use it in Big Ten play and how successful it is.
Now let's get to the TMZ moment of the week. And that, of course, is how Tim Beckman is handling questions when it deals to the recruitment of players. Your thoughts on the answer he gave on Monday, and I don't know if I didn't listen to the Big Ten teleconference, so I would assume it came up there too.
I'm surprised we didn't lead with this, because this is what everyone's talking about this week.
I understand that.
Bill O'Brien, all the players, they're just jumping at the gun to tell us how they really feel about Tim Beckman and his staff.
Yeah. Tim struggled to tell us what he really thought, though. Maybe there are different problems.
From my understanding, and I wasn't on the call, but what I gathered just from hearing about is that he basically stuck to his story and what he told us in July, and that his staff, first of all, he was not on campus from what he said, but he did have some of his assistants in State College, and he maintains that they were off campus. Some Penn State players, you know, spotted them outside their apartments, outside their classrooms, outside the Latch football building. But Tim basically said, hey, these are the rules the NCAA laid out for us. We abided by these rules. And, you know, we went about our business, you know, for that short period of time when we were on campus.
Well, we should give you a chance to hear it.
Well, you know, again, this game was, you know, developed, I believe, for opportunity. And when we had that opportunity to you know, go out and ask young men if they were, or they come to us and say that they would like an opportunity to speak to us, I mean, I think that's what college football is about.
Yeah, that's what college football's about. Yeah. Opportunities. Giving
wasn't
kids
exactly the smoothest presentation.
I tried.
I mean, he acted like he was surprised by the question.
July was a long time ago. He maybe thought it was water under the bridge. I mean, he did speak with Bill in Chicago, and you know, all he said was that he hopes the issue's resolved. Well,
and I thought that tells more about what O'Brien thinks about this whole situation, because he's not biting on the opportunity to throw any verbal haymakers. And I think mm-hmm. we kind of expected that from him when Penn State said that Mahdi wasn't going to be available this week. You kind of knew that they were going to take the high road on this whole situation. But the fact that Beckman's like, well, I think it's like resolved and everything. Like we talked at the media days and it seems like it's okay. You know, that kind of, it wasn't like they went and got a beer and talked it out and were like, it's cool, man. You're just trying to get some of my players. I understand that, you know, he's not sure what's going on and keeps bringing it up as something that could be a storyline. And maybe that's just the angle that they're playing it this week. But, you know, I look forward to the postgame handshake. That's for sure.
And what are you looking forward to? Same thing?
Pre-game handshake.
Pre-game handshake.
Paging Jim Schwartz, John Harbaugh, or Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah. Well, what is your take on the whole thing?
You know, this is you know, we're going to play this straight down the middle, and I don't think Illinois is to blame here. I think if, now we don't, I don't know if this has ever been clarified or not, but if the opposing coach is supposed to notify mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien that they're coming, or at least that they're interested in talking to their players, mm-hmm. I don't know if that was done or how clearly that was specified or not. So, you know, putting all that aside, if Illinois wanted to do it, they could do it. And I don't think the issue lies in Illinois or being a Big Ten brethren of Penn State. I think the issue lies in the NCAA allowing or making this type of transfer ruling without thinking about these unintended consequences of the possibility of coaches basically stalking or eavesdropping off these kids' apartments and classrooms. So, you know, rush to judgment, you know, hasty decision-making, whatever you want to call it, by the NCAA, I think they're as much as fault here as Illinois just doing what the rules say they could do.
Mm-hmm. Ben?
I just think it's interesting that Beckman says that they were contacted by some players, or that they were, you know, if people wanted to talk to them, that they could. And they brought, I think it was 6 or 7 coaches. The exact number seems to vary depending on who's telling the story. But, you know, if you think these guys are going to come to you, then you don't need to wait outside the Lash building. You don't need to wait outside their apartment. You go, hey, we talked. I'll meet you at here. You know, I'll meet you at Panera, and we can talk about Illinois football. And that didn't really happen. And maybe he thought that they like, carry the guys back, and that's why they brought so many coaches. He's like, it's a long walk back to Illinois, and I'm going to need some help. But, I mean,
make sure you get all his backs.
It just seems like they went about it in a kind of suspicious way. It just kind of camping out and everything, and you know, certainly they were following the rules as the NCAA mm-hmm. opened up that free season on everybody, but mm-hmm. You know, there's certainly different ways to go about that.
There are only 2 players I can think of off the top of my head that have transferred within the Big Ten, and the 2 I can think of off the top of my head would be Jeff George going from Purdue to Illinois with a mini stop at Miami at some point, and Kim Royston, a defensive back who went from Minnesota to Wisconsin and played against Penn State in 2008 with Wisconsin and played against Penn State with Minnesota in 2010. Those are the only 2 guys I can think of off the top of my head that within the conference. Now, of course, now we've seen in basketball the young man going from Wisconsin to Iowa. We know how that went.
Boren. I believe it's Justin went from Michigan to Ohio, or went from Ohio State to Michigan, or vice versa.
Michigan to Ohio State.
And that's, some might think that's even worse.
Well, I think all 12 Big Ten teams are equal, despite what others may think. You know, I tried to explain this to somebody one time. I think Michigan was playing Ohio State, and Michigan State was playing Penn State. This is 2005. The guy says, oh, I'm going to the Ohio State-Michigan game. The Big Ten title's on the line. I said, you do know if Penn State wins today, they're the champion, right? I think it was a confused look. I said, look, I said, there are a lot of rivalry games. I said, it's not just one game. But
I thought Penn State's RPI was really bad that year. Yeah. Not how it works.
Mm. So, yeah, those are the only guys I can think of. You're right about Bourne. I forgot about him going from Michigan to Ohio State.
I wonder if this is something that can fester beyond this year with these two coaches. You know, at what point does it become water under the bridge? Is it done after Saturday? Is that it?
Well, considering the Penn State players still have the option to leave after this year.
Well, yet that issue's not dead.
Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I would think.
I mean, the issue's not dead, and that's the other part of it.
And I know other coaches say they won't do it, but come January, February, and your roster, you could use, a running back or something along those lines.
Come the end of November.
November.
Okay, I mean, let's get this straight now. Come the end of November, that's when things, you know, unfortunately for Penn State, become extremely interesting again, because everybody at that point is in the same boat they were in the late July, early August. Just being realistic here.
It's going to be a hectic holiday season.
Now, the difference is that, for example, take like Hapley. Florida State can play with 86 guys this year. He counts on next year's, the February 6th recruiting list. That's where he counts. Anybody who transfers this time, if there are any, and there may not be one, there may not be any transfers. But if it were to happen, that also would count on the February 6th list, and nobably would play above 85.
So that's why it's going to be important for other teams to try to do it earlier rather than later, correct?
To get a feel for it, because that's where they'll count. That's where they'll count. Because once February 6th rolls around, almost everybody's at 85. Almost. You know, you may lose a guy here or there, or, you know, I mean, I can't imagine somebody looking at a walk-on saying, give up your scholarship. Oh, that's right. That does happen.
No.
Like in July. I mean, there are walk-ons asked to give up their scholarships all the time, but it doesn't happen in July, does it? No, I didn't think so.
I think it depends on the conference.
Oh, I think it depends on a smaller circle than that, Ben.
Well, that's true.
I think it depends. True. See, that's, you know, one thing I'm confident about is if the shoe were on the other foot, Bill O'Brien wouldn't go after anybody's players. I'm absolutely confident that if the shoe was on the other foot, Bill O'Brien would not be going after other players. He'd say, look, we'd get our own guys.
Sends a message of solidarity that, you know, sure, this is who we have and we're going to go to war with these guys. It instills confidence in them.
See, that's what struck me about all this. What has struck me about all this is that you go through letter of intent day. You have your roster. Now, you may make an adjustment. Hey, look, okay, we got 82 guys. I can give 3 deserving walk-ons a scholarship. You know, I mean, whatever, you know.
Maybe move a guy from defense to offense, right, or vice versa.
But you have your roster set. You go to spring practice, you have your roster set. You go through your meetings in July, I mean in May and June. You go out, make some preliminary contacts on recruiting and so forth, thinking about roster turnover and this, that, and the other thing. And then when you come back at the latter stage of July, you're making plans with these individuals, 105 guys that you're going to take to camp. And suddenly out of nowhere, everybody's looking for players. Like, your program must not be that great if you feel like you have suddenly all these needs. That's what struck me about it, the lack of confidence in what you already had.
Yeah, especially looking at what Illinois came away with from all of that. It wasn't even like, you know, I understand why USC comes and talks to the Silas, right? You think you can get a guy to come play for your program, that's going to help you in an obvious sort of way. But for, you know, no offense to Nowicki going to Illinois, you know, no offense to him. He's not the same caliber of a player that a Silas Wright or a Justin Brown is.
Well, Tim Beckman is that, but Beckman is, I'll say this, is in a different boat, though, than Lane Kiffin. Because,
also true.
All right, his boat is completely different for this reason. He only has 18 players on there he recruited. He didn't recruit anybody else. Lane recruited all his guys. Those 75 guys are all his kids. Okay, and it's 75. He has 75. So that was the team he molded and shaped himself. Guys,
thanks so much. Ben Jones and Nate Mink, StateCollege.com. Guys, thanks for a great discussion today. Enjoy having the StateCollege.com guys on once a week with us to get a read on Penn State football and the games. And thanks, by the way, guys, for coming down here to the Sunbury Motors studio here in State College. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lenape Solar Hotline is going to heat up in a few minutes. We're going to dial in and talk with Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football. And now we've mentioned Sunbury Motors, and we've mentioned Lenape Solar. Our Friday sponsor is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the weekend. It is time to go to Brewers Outlet and stock up for the weekend. News coming up at the bottom of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, and then Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, all coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Everything is on sale at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln. Everything is on sale,
and we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, all priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell, sell.
Check it out. A 40 MPG Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT, all priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the sporty Veloster, priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata, also available at around 20,000 bucks? And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from, all at the lowest prices of the year. So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop. One place to stop. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now, everything is on sale. And we mean everything.
Brewers Outlet Sunbury has all your football tailgating supplies. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And don't forget plenty of beer. Choose from a huge selection of imports and microbrews. Check out their incredible deals. They have everything that comes together to make a great beverage shoppable store. Then there's the fresh roasted peanuts daily and the help yourself pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the cooler weather. And don't forget the beer.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Getting ready for a big football weekend, including Shikellamy at Loyal Sock tonight. You'll hear it at 7 o'clock with Kevin Hurd, Dick Hort, as they'll broadcast live from Loyal Sock tonight. Loyal Sock coming off a very impressive win over Mount Carmel last week. Shikellamy looking to bounce back. You'll hear it tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Again, the kickoff is set for 7 o'clock this evening. One of four games in the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations coming up tonight. Tomorrow, Penn State football. Noon will be the kickoff and the airtime tomorrow from Memorial Stadium in Champaign with Roger Corey, Lauren Crispell, Jack Cam, Jeff Tarman, myself. We'll begin at 10:30 tomorrow morning. We'll take your questions, your comments. We'll do so by phone. We'll also do so by Facebook, by email, Twitter, whatever it happens to be, whatever method you can get your question in. We'll answer all your questions tomorrow on the show, beginning at 10:30 tomorrow morning. It is the Big Ten opener for Penn State, And it'll be a noon kickoff, 11 o'clock, by the way, Central Time, the kickoff tomorrow. So it will be a fashionably late-arriving crowd. Today's show, well, when you're talking about a football weekend, last night, of course, the Ravens held on, beat the Browns last night, winning that game 23-16. And, of course, the big weekend Steelers have a bye week. They get the Eagles next week. That will be a very interesting game to talk about. But there's plenty of college football coming up this weekend. So high school football tonight, college football tomorrow, the NFL coming up on Sunday, Monday night football as well. Sunday night game will be a dandy, the Eagles and the Giants on NBC. That will be Sunday night. So how do you get ready for all that? I have a simple solution. It's called Brewer's Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, oh, much more than just beverages. Just go in there and check out the wide selection that they have. You name it, they have it. Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, an absolute must on a Friday to stop at and stock up for the weekend. Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, and our thanks to Ben Jones and Nate Mink from statecollege.com for joining us in the Sunbury Motors studio earlier today. They were with us in the previous half hour. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Time now to tap into the Lenape Solar Hotline and bring in my counterpart from the Fighting Illini Radio Network, my good friend Brian Barnhart. Brian, welcome. It's great to hear from you.
Hey, Steve. Great to be on with you.
All right. So you're done serving hot dogs at the 75th anniversary there, the radio station?
Yeah, I handed out, I wore a little Menards, a little thing in front for ketchup and mustard, and handed out a couple hundred hot dogs in the last hour. So that was fun to meet our listeners and celebrate our station's birthday.
Yeah, that's great. I can't imagine Lauren Tate was anywhere near this.
You know, I know Ed Bond was. Ed loves to eat, so he's he's out there with the hot dogs right now. So,
well, are the listeners getting any with Ed out there?
Yeah, I'm sure that he's eating the, what do they call it, eating the profits.
Yes, he always does that. All right, let's get to your football team. Let's talk about the quarterback situation there. Nathan Chealous and Riley O'Toole. I mean, next level, O'Toole is the one that eventually has next level stuff. But how does that stand right now, and how has that played out for Tim Beckman this year?
Well, you know, it started, Steve, okay, because Chealous, they had some specific plays for Riley O'Toole. They're probably going to use him on occasion during the year because he's a very accurate quarterback. His senior year in high school, I forget, he threw for like 40 touchdowns or something and two interceptions. I mean, he's extremely accurate. He's the guy that, you know, the Peyton Manning rocket arm kind of quarterback, you know, that is, as you said, probably has the skill to be at the next level at some point if he can develop. But Nathan has been the guy the last couple of years. You guys have seen Nathan Chealous up close. He's run for a lot of yards against the Nittany Lions. But he injured his ankle in the second half of the Western Michigan game, and that kind of thrust Riley O'Toole in there. And then he struggled in the Arizona State game. Riley did. Nathan sat out the Arizona State game and the next game as well, then came back last week and looked rusty. And his ankle, you know, there was a reason why Tim Beckman didn't have him out there the previous 2 weeks is because he wasn't 100%. And I don't think he was 100% last week either. He just didn't have that elusive ability that he is known for, his cutting and his being able to make him a dual threat. And so he's been named the starter. You know, I expect him to start, but I think if he struggles, you know, I think you'll see Riley O'Toole, and you may see Riley anyway at some point just because he brings a little different dimension to the table. But it hasn't gone all quite as smoothly as Tim Beckman hoped, especially in the injury front on both sides of the ball.
Chealous has run for a total of 150 yards against Penn State in the last two games combined. His ability, when he is 100%, to add that dimension of run, how much does that actually help him as a passer when he has that dimension to run?
Yeah, well, it makes him much better because, you know, he doesn't have a great, great arm. He's stretched it out over the last couple of years. You know, he's come a long way since he was a freshman, but, you know, he's not a guy that's going to just you know, throw it deep down the field on a repeated basis. So his running is what makes him more dangerous. He's very good at, you know, play action and faking the football and running it and keeping it and finding yardage, as you guys have discovered in the two games he's played against you. And, you know, I think it takes away from his like I said, the dual threat nature of what he can do, because he's not the greatest passer in the world, but the running makes him that much more effective if he can be able to do both. And since he got injured in the first game of the year, he hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't played, didn't play for 2 weeks.
Paul Langford was a really good defensive back here at Penn State, also a great track athlete as well, and then went on to 10 years in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins. His son, Ryan Langford, now is playing for Illinois. With A.J. Jenkins now in the NFL, what kind of threat has Ryan Langford become?
Well, he's not quite the threat that A.J. was. A.J. just had a knack. He and Shielhaus connected repeatedly last year. I've the total number of catches compared to what A.J. had to what the second leading receiver had was a huge chasm. I mean, in fact, some people thought, well, Nathan's relying on A.J. too much, but A.J. had that breakaway ability, which is obviously what got him in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers. But Langford is devout. He just didn't even know how to catch a ball for a year or so. He had a touchdown against Michigan 2 years ago, then didn't have another one until the Western Michigan game, and he's got four now. He's leading our team in that category. But he's got good speed. He's really, you know, kind of become the leader of the receiving core, if you will, just because, you know, he's been around longer than anybody else. And I don't know if he's quite at the level that A.J. Jenkins is, but he is a good threat. He's a great kid. You know, he's a guy they're counting on. And there's another guy they were also counting on, Darius Malines. And here's where the injury story comes into play again, is Darius Malines is a guy that they were counting on, too. And he's been hurt almost all this year. So that's put even more pressure on Langford and then a bunch of young receivers to try to make this offense work.
Give us an idea, Brian, of the injury situation on the offensive line and the domino effect it's had on the offense.
Well, it was a concern with Tim Beckman. When I first met Tim Beckman, we met in his office and we talked a little bit about the team. And he goes, Brian, my biggest concern is our depth. We don't have a lot of depth at really any position. There's a couple that we had a little more depth in. One that they were lacking depth in was the offensive line. And so in camp, they started moving guys around. Graham Posick has been our two-year starting center. Then they tried him at guard, and they tried him at tackle because we gave up a lot of sacks last year, the second half of the season. We just could not move the football, and part of it was the offensive line broke down. So they tried moving Graham around a little bit. Then he started the year at center. Then he got hurt. He missed two games. So that forced the backup center, Jake Feldmeyer, to step in. Now I expect Posick to be somewhere on the offensive line Saturday. And then Feldmeyer will still start because Hugh Thornton got banged up last week. So it's the kind of thing where Tim Beckman's had to constantly shuffle things around to try to make it work. And, you know, hopefully Hugh can come back at some point. But right now they just have had no continuity on the offensive line. And when Thornton went out the second half of last week's game, that made a big difference because then you had some guys with just very little experience on the line. And Louisiana Tech, which is not a great defensive team at all, were able to put pressure on our quarterback.
What kind of versatility do Donovan Young and Josh Ferguson give to the offense?
Well, they give it a lot because they both can catch passes. In fact, Young has already caught more passes. They've utilized him a lot more out of that. He already caught more passes this year than he caught all of last year. And then Ferguson is a guy that I know you like. You've seen on tape. He's very shifty. He had a great spring. He was hurt last year about the second game of the year, and he got a medical hardship. And they really liked him last year before he got hurt. And he can, in the open field and open space, he's really, really good. And that's why they use him on kickoffs and other things to try to get the ball in his hands. So you know, they bring some versatility without the deep threat that hasn't developed yet. Langford is maybe the closest thing to it. You know, they've had to rely more on short passes and dumping it out of the backfield and crossing guys over the middle, which was successful last week against Louisiana Tech early. And Ferguson's a really good player, but even he was hurt because he missed a game with a concussion that he suffered in the Arizona State game, the second game of the year. So the fact that he's been hurt has forced some other younger backs. Danny Ayula is another back that you might see at some point on Saturday. So, but Ferguson's a real key to the offense, too.
Evan Wilson's been hurt at tight end, but John Davis was already emerging last year. Give us a read on the dynamic of tight end between those two, if Wilson's even able to play.
Yeah, well, if I could have a dime for every time somebody asked about why don't we use the tight ends more, that's been a lament all the way back to Ron Turner's era. And for some reason, I don't know, we just haven't used them a lot. Now, Wilson had several catches last year, and we have missed him. Davis was a guy they really liked. Davis is kind of a hybrid, a combo. You can use him. They have lined him up in the backfield before. They can use him at tight end. They can do a lot of different things with him. They can use him as a receiver. So he's versatile enough to do all of that. And in the first game against Western Michigan, they used him on a lot of traps and just let him go right up the middle like a fullback, and he was very effective that way. So, yeah, he's emerging. He's one of the future stars of the team. I mean, he's really a versatile guy that can do a lot of different things. And not only can he do a lot of things, but he does them really well.
I can assure you, Brian, that one phrase that you're not hearing in State College right now is, when are they going to use the tight ends at Penn State? You're not going to hear that statement here, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's been a lament here for a long time. And I don't know, hopefully I think Tim Beckman is looking for some kind of offensive identity. I mean, Bill O'Brien comes in there, as you know, and he's coming from New England. He's got his philosophy. He's got his identity. Probably establishing what he wants to do. And with Tim Beckman, I know he'd like to run a Toledo-style offense. If you saw Toledo play, yeah. I mean, they were up and down, much like the Louisiana Tech or much like Arizona State, a high tempo. But he's right now with the injuries and on the front line and the quarterback, just haven't been able to kind of put in the tempo that he wants to put in yet. And so I think we're still searching for our offensive identity.
You mentioned the word tempo, Brian. Let's get to the defensive side. A lot of people felt going in that Illinois would have a very good front seven. What has tempo meant offensively against that front seven?
Well, it's forced them to, and that's another area where they don't have a lot of depth. They've got their front four, you know, with Spence, names you're familiar with, Foster. I know your center has been very high on those two guys, how tough they were. We don't have Merciless anymore, who's now in the NFL with Houston. Buchanan's a very good player, but you get behind those guys, the guys behind them, Teitsma, Kennard, those guys have not played a lot, so they're a little bit thin there behind those two, but you throw in Jonathan Brown, who's an excellent player, really, had a big ball game last year against several Big Ten teams. I think he had at least 9 tackles in every Big Ten game last year, and, you know, the thing with this year has been we've played 2 teams, one Arizona State with their new coach Todd Graham. I mean, they just play a mile a minute. As fast as they can get to the line of scrimmage, the referee can barely get out of the way. And the first couple of series, first few plays, we, with a new defensive staff, we had half the team reading one guy's signals and the other half reading the others. And there were guys wide open. I mean, you or I maybe could have gotten open the way we were confused on defense. Well, they got it fixed as the game went on. But by that time, they were a little too far behind to try to mount a comeback. And then we played Louisiana Tech, who is as good as I think some of the Boise State teams we've seen in recent years. They're just athletic. They're fast. They've got fifth-year seniors. And they just constantly put you in pressure points where if they find an opening one-on-one, they're gonna cash it in. They've got an NFL-type receiver that went for about 160 yards last week in Patton. So, I think the tempo bothered us. Now, against Western Michigan, who also tends to run a higher-paced offense, we shut them down, held them to minus 6 yards rushing. Against an overmatched Charleston Southern team, we shut them out. They didn't get close. I think they were over 13 on third down. So it's dependent on the competition, but tempo has given us problems this year. And, if I don't see another team that does that, that'll be fine with me because that was, those two teams really moved the football in a hurry.
Yeah, basketball on grass is what we always refer to it as. I know you mentioned Jonathan Brown is probably one of the better weak side linebackers in all the Big Ten. What about the kid Monheim in the middle at middle linebacker?
Yeah, they really like him, and he's from Orrville, Ohio. He's a kid that I think the Beckman staff knew about just because they were in Ohio and from there coaching in Toledo, so they were aware of him, and they really liked him. And the more they talked about him, and the more you saw him in camp, you're like, wow, this guy can play. And as you know, those guys start out, I mean, they're kind of learning what they need to do, but some of them have great instincts, some of them seem to know exactly where they need to be and whatever coverage they're in. And he was pressed into duty to start a couple of games ago when Houston Bates went down, and, I mean, the 2 plays into the game, he's got a pick. He read the pass perfectly and then set us up for our first touchdown, and he's already racked up, a handful of tackles in just a couple of games. So they really like his... the way he is as a freshman already, it's going to be fun to watch him develop into an even better player over the next few years.
Terry Hawthorne has had to fight some injuries in his career, but when he's been out there, how strong a cover corner is he?
Well, when he's healthy, he's one of the best around. Now he got beat a couple of times last week by Patton, who I think again is an NFL type receiver, and And I don't think Terry's been 100% all year. So, but when he's healthy, he's as good as there is. He can run like a deer. He's tough. He was one of the, if not the top receiver in the country out of East St. Louis when he came in. And then Ron Zook, they switched him to the defensive side of the ball. And kind of like the Ron Turner did years ago with Kelvin Hayden, moved him over to defense. And, of course, Kelvin's had a pretty long career in the NFL at that spot. So I think Terry's got a real chance to be in the NFL, you know, next year and make some money. And he's really good. We just got to get him some help, and we got to get some guys healthy around him. Because, you know, sometimes you get your corners, what is it, Tim Beckman says, undressing your corners, and we got undressed a couple of times last week.
Finally, Brian, based on how the schedule plays out down the road in the Big Ten, give me an idea of the importance for Illinois of this particular one on Saturday.
Well, it's very important. I know it's important for Penn State. I realize there's no postseason implications for the Lions, as everybody knows there, but Illinois, you know, back-to-back bowl games have not been to three straight bowl games since John Makovic's era 20 years ago. And, you know, Tim Beckman's first year. And, you know, the Arizona State game was going to be tough. The Louisiana Tech game, you knew it would be tough, but you think you'd win it. You'd like to be 3-1 instead of 2-2. And now you're entering conference play. We're playing, obviously, Penn State Saturday at 11. You've got a trip to Wisconsin, which is never easy, as you know, and then a trip to Michigan, back-to-back weeks, 2:30 in the afternoon Central Time on national TV. And so those will be big ones, and then a bye week, and then home at the end of the month of October as we return home. I think it's Indiana that's on the schedule. So the next 3 weeks are really important, and Tim Beckman's been emphasizing the Big Ten is the most important part of the year. This is why we're all here, to win a Big Ten championship, to compete. And as you know, with two teams not being eligible for Indianapolis, Illinois is in that mix with Purdue and so forth to try to you know, win the division. And, you know, to do that, they've got to beat Penn State, and that will not be easy. And so that's what makes it really important, is to for Illinois to take this game. And so, you know, we'll see how they fare, but right now they need to win pretty badly.
Brian, my friend, it's always a pleasure, and can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Always great to see you, and I'll tell Ed to save you a hot dog.
You and I both know there aren't any left.
No, you're right about that.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay.
Brian Barnhart, my counterpart from the Illinois Radio Network, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football. And we thank him for the time that he gave us. I think he gave all of you a pretty comprehensive read, by the way, on Illinois football. I think if you walk out of... If you're in the car right now, driving home, and you're, you know, or you're at work right now, or at home, or you're getting ready to go to a high school football game tonight, and you're wondering about Illinois football, wonder no longer, because I think Brian gave you every answer we can possibly give you about Illinois football. And again, the Illini will take on Penn State tomorrow. And that will be at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. Jack Ham, Lauren Crispell, Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman, the entire crew. We're on beginning at 10:30 tomorrow morning right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with the kickoff set for noon tomorrow. High school football tonight. Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations, including News Radio 1070 WKOK. Shikellamy looking to break through as they take on Loyal Sock tonight, which broke through in a big way last week with a win at Mount Carmel. Dick Hort and Kevin Herr will get things rolling tonight, and that will be at 7 o'clock this evening. So we're looking forward to that. Today's show has been brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to go to the beverage supermarket and enjoy, because they do a fabulous job in more than just beverages. I mean, one-stop shopping when it comes to the great people at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's the weekend. High school football tonight, college football tomorrow, pro football on Sunday, including Eagles and Giants Sunday night, Monday night football as well. Everything got started last night with the Ravens winning by a touchdown over the Browns, 23-16. So that means you need to stop at the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Our thanks to Nate Mink and Ben Jones, who joined us today at the Sunbury Motors Studio here in State College. Sunbury Motors,
Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. And, of course, our thanks to John Vooch of the St. Louis Cardinals and Brian Barnhart from the Illinois Radio Network for joining us on the Lenape Solar Hotline. You can always go to Lenape Solar and LenapeSolar.com. Kevin Herr and Dick Hort getting ready for the showdown tonight between Shikellamy and Loyal Sock. I'm Steve Jones. Looking forward to going to Champaign and talking with you tomorrow from Memorial Stadium. For Kevin, Sarah Bartlett, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us on News Radio 1070 WKOK.